I want to speak tonight upon a subject I have entitled The King of Terrors and the Terror of Kings. The subject is the subject of death. I have two texts, one from the New Testament, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and the verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Then I have an Old Testament text coupled with this New Testament one. Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 16. The words of God's prophet to the false prophet. This year thou shalt die. This year thou shalt die. In these texts of Scripture, there are four things worthy of our consideration on this solemn subject of death. We have death firstly defined. It is an enemy. And for a little time, I want to discourse this evening upon death as an enemy. Then we have death further described. It's called the last enemy. I want to talk a little tonight upon death as the last enemy. And then this verse declares that death is finally destroyed. What a day that will be, when there'll be no more sorrow because of bereavement, when death shall be vanquished from the new heaven and the new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Never a tear will run down the cheeks of the redeemed because of a bitter, hard parting at the river of death. Death finally destroyed. And then in the Old Testament text, we have death faithfully declared, and we need to declare it. If there's anything that men don't want to think about, if there's a subject that society doesn't want to talk about, if there's a thought that ungodly sinners want to put far from their meditation and consideration and their mind, it is the thought of death, the thought of the grave, and the thought of all that is entailed and is wrapped up in the shroud and in the coffin, in the sepulchre and in the tomb. We'll look then first at death defined. Let me remind your friend that death is an intruder in this world. When this world came from the hands of the great Creator, when it was called out of the bosom of nothingness by the word of God's power, when God brought forth this firmament and the planets, and rolled it all in the space about us, death was not originally in that scene. It was a deathless world that God created. It was deathless beings that God created as well. But something happened. Death came in, for death is the firstborn of sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So death is an intruder. Death is an invader. Death is an outsider that has pushed its poison across the globe and pushed its virus into the veins of humanity's millions and sown its terror and its heartaches and heartbreaks across this old world of ours. Death, of course, does the work of an enemy, doesn't it? You take the body of an individual, fearfully and wonderfully made. Who can describe the way God has made man and how God has fashioned human flesh, the receptacle of the immortal spirit? No wonder the book declares that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But my friend, when death comes and blows its icy breath upon the human frame, it does the work of an enemy. Fairest flowers soon decay. Youth and beauty pass away. It only takes the breath of death to pull up the tent pegs, to break the center pole of life's tabernacle, and leave the body as a mass of corruption and as a place of hideous desolation with the stench of death upon it. The fairest form touched by the hand of death corrupts. The beauty of youth becomes hideous when death blows its breath across it. The strong figure of a man filled with life and zest for living, just one touch of death's fingertips, and the man is left a hideous and a stenchful corpse. And you don't know how near you are to death tonight. You remember David. And he said, there's but a step betwixt me and death. Only, my friend, the beating of the heart. Only, my friend, the beating of the pulse. Only the thickness of your ribs and the indrawing of the oxygen in your lungs between you and death and judgment and God's great eternity. How frail we are. Today we could be living in all life's enjoyments, and in an hour, in half an hour, in 10 minutes, nay, verily, in a second, gone for all eternity. And let me tell you, friend, when death is finished with your body, your loved ones will know that death is an enemy. Could I say something else? That when death comes, the man who's dying knows that death's an enemy. I've seen a lot of people die. Since I started to preach the gospel as a boy of 16, I've been at many deathbeds. I've watched men and women die. And you know, you get acquainted with death when you're often at the deathbed scene. And no matter whether the person is a believer or an unbeliever, no matter whether a person is a saint who's lived a godly life for years through trust in Christ, or a sinner that's darkened with sin's diabolical and satanic stains. Death is still an enemy. And because we were born to be immortal, because we were created to live forever, because we're sons and daughters of Adam, who was made not to die, but to live, there's something within every mortal that struggles when death comes, that fights when death comes, that battles when death comes. Ah, my friend, let me tell you, to saint and sinner, death is an enemy. And the man who's dying knows that he's struggling with a great enemy. And the man who's in the valley of the shadow, he knows that this is life's last great battle. The great struggle that he cannot win, the great struggle that he's bound to lose, is now happening to him. Death is an enemy to its victim. Death, of course, is an enemy to the friends of the victim. I stood some time ago at a little cot in a hospital ward. Mother was at one side of the cot, and father was at the other side. And under the sheet, there lay a little girl, small and tiny, and beautiful to look upon. But it was her deathbed. And as I saw the tears roll down that strong father's cheeks, as I held that mother's hand in my grip to try to solace and comfort her, I learned, friend, that death is the enemy of the friends of its victims. And that little body gave a last shiver, and the eyelids twitched, and the rattle came in the throat, and mother gasped, "She's gone." Fell into her husband's arms to sob out bitter tears that no touch, humanly speaking, could take away the bitterness from. Death is an enemy. I have stood, friend, at the open grave, and I've seen a strong man stand there and put his hand on one little curly head beside him and his other hand on another little curly head. And he's looked into that grave, and in that grave there's the coffin, and in the coffin lies the body of his partner, his wife, the mother of his children. My friend, you don't need to preach to that man a sermon that death is an enemy. Death is an enemy, all right. Death doesn't heed the cries of the orphans. Death doesn't listen to the shrieks of the motherless and the fatherless. Death cares not for the sorrows and the wounds that it inflicts. Death hurls itself into a home and sows confusion and catastrophe all about it. Where there's death, friend, there's the marks of the enemy. Let me tell you, friend, that the widow knows that death's an enemy. Took away her partner, the breadwinner, and left her in her desolation, sorrowful. And she longs tonight for the touch of the vanished hand and the sound of the voice forever still. I don't need to tell the widow that death was her enemy, for it was. Those motherless children that long for mother's comforting touch, those children that cry out at times for a mammy that can never return to take them up in her arms and to soothe them as only a mother can soothe, and sympathize with them as only a mother can sympathize. I don't need to tell those children without a mother that death's an enemy. They know it. Death is the enemy of the human race. My enemy! It's your enemy! And sooner or later, the pale horse of revelation will catch up upon us all. One day I'll draw the blinds and weep for my loved ones. One day I'll carry a burden that's too hard for a human heart to carry alone. Why? Because death is the enemy of the human race. Let me tell you, death is the enemy of all men. All suffer when death comes. When death comes to that home and we lose a neighbor, we know that death is an enemy. A good neighbor, a good friend, a person that prayed with us and helped us. I stood in a church some time ago that had lost its revered and honored pastor. And as I stood with the deacons of that church and we shook hands together, they said to me, "Who'll ever fill the pulpit and fill the place?" And I said to them, "You're learning as a church that death is an enemy. Death doesn't care whether it leaves an empty pulpit. Death doesn't care if it robs the church of the best church member. Death doesn't care what sorrow, heartaches come because it comes. Death rides on, trampling under its hoofs the millions of humanity." Remember this tonight, that you're headed out for death and for judgment and for the great eternity. It's an enemy. Let me say something else. Death is the last enemy. What does that mean? You're going to meet a lot of enemies before you meet death. And my, when we look over life's pathway, we have met enemies. We've met the enemy of sin, haven't we? And sin has beaten and baffled us all. There's not a man or woman in this meeting that hasn't fought with sin and has to admit that sin was too strong, too great, too fearsome, too loathsome. We have fought with temptations along life's pathway. Walking down the road of life, temptation has come to us. Suggestions have been placed before our eyes and in our minds. And we have stood there in the arena of battle and we have fought with temptation. Yes, and some of us have fought battles in our body with sickness. And we have had an uphill climb to this present day. We have lain and known what it is to fight with the battle of sickness. And are there not those amongst us who have fought a long battle with loneliness? Lonely souls out there in the darkness of this world. Lonely men and women without friends, without human comforts and human aids and human associations, without a companion to which they can speak, and an ear into which they can pour their troubles and their sorrows. The battle of loneliness. But my friend, there's a last battle to be fought. It's the battle. The battle with death. Oh, that's the last battle. To many, it will be a terrible battle. I was called some time ago to a home in this city. I shall never forget it. To speak of it puts a shudder into my heart. When I got to the door, the wife of the dying man met me, and she said, "I couldn't call you while my husband was conscious, for he hated you so much. But now that he's gone unconscious and doesn't know I've called for you." I stood in that door. I said, "Woman, you're the biggest fool I ever met. What can I do for an unconscious dying man? What hope is there for me to get home to his heart the message of the gospel?" And I went in and stood there, and two men were there. And they were holding him down in the bed as he fought the last great battle of his career. What a scene it was to hear him raise his voice in anger, kick the clothes from off him, and rise up with the sweat of death upon his brow, the struggle with the enemy. And I remember those two men saying to me, "Preacher, won't you pray?" What was the use of praying? I prayed, but my prayer rebounced from the ceiling of the death chamber and struck me like a boomerang upon my forehead. I was in the anteroom to hell, and I knew it. A poor old sinner who rejected Christ for years and cursed the gospel and the gospel preachers was fighting his last battle. And as I stood there and watched, I said, "My God, if this is the vestibule of hell, what must hell be like?" Friend, don't have a death without Christ. Don't have a death without hope. Don't have a death without light. Don't have a death that knows no glorious resurrection. But I tell you, from bitter and constant experience of watching sinners die, the most hopeless thing outside of hell is a Christless deathbed. I've been to the deathbed of the saint. The early days of my ministry in Ravenhill, we had a lovely young lassie in our congregation. She took ill after one of our annual meetings. And she never rose again from her bed. She failed away. I was with her near the end. And her father and mother, who are still with us as members of this church, they were weeping. And I remember her saying to them, "Daddy, don't weep. I'm going to be with Jesus. Mammy, don't weep. I'm going to be with my Lord." A frail piece of humanity. A young girl in her teens, she would have shuddered if she had heard a door slam. She was fighting the last enemy, but there was one stronger than her by her side. To smite death's threatening wave before her. She talked to her brother. He wasn't a Christian. And she warned him. She said, "I might never see you again. I'm going to be with Jesus." Many years afterwards, I preached in the Sandra Cinema in Sandy Row. And one night, one afternoon, that big brother of hers walked down the aisle and he got me by the hand. He said, "I want to meet my sister in heaven. I'm going to trust Jesus." Praise God, he trusted the Lord. Friend, I want to tell you something. You need Jesus when you have to fight that battle. You need the hand of omnipotence and the comfort of the Savior when you fight that last battle. Praise God, in this book it tells us that death is going to be destroyed. What a day that'll be. Did you ever imagine the resurrection? When Jesus Christ sounds the trumpet and calls the saints on high. And they rise from their grave just as they were rising from their beds in the morning. The sunshine of resurrection glorious dawn. The saints rise from the dust and cast away their garments of clay and take on the glorified garments of the redeemed. And they with us caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What a day that'll be! Oh, death, Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Then shall the grave be robbed of its prey, and then shall death be vanquished by the trumpet sound of he who has the resurrection and the life. But that day hasn't come yet. And so there is a mournful dirge sounding in the ears of sinners. This year thou shalt die. I wonder who in this meeting is that absolutely true of, for in this congregation it's true of someone. You're in the last stretch of life's journey and you don't know it. You've passed the last milestone, friend. Between you and God's eternity is just a little passage, but a few days, nay, perhaps a few minutes, will accomplish. It may be that you're hearing your last gospel sermon. It may be that tonight is your last night in time. I'm preaching to men and women that are quickly passing outward to eternity. The preacher is a dying man. He's addressing dying men and women. Maybe this is Ian Paisley's last sermon. Who can tell? Maybe it's the last gospel address I'll ever give for this pulpit. Who can tell? Friend, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I have one final word to say to you. Oh, come, sinner, come. Oh, why do you delay? The striking invitation is that you should come today. Tomorrow has no promise that it can give to you. Tomorrow is eternity, just hidden from your view. Oh, come, sinner, come, accept the proffered grave, for death may soon be calling you into her cold embrace. The harvest will be ended. The summer will be past. Your lamentation then will be, my soul is lost at last. May God forbid it. May you be saved from an unready deathbed and for the terrors of a Christless hell. That's my earnest prayer, God being my witness. Let us bow our heads. And we have had a solemn subject, and the atmosphere has been charged with solemnity. Oh God, save souls from Christless hells and undone hopeless deathbeds. Bring them to Christ tonight. Spirit of God, breathe upon the people. Draw men to Jesus. Vain is the help of man, but salvation is of the Lord. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, in the meeting tonight, there are three types of people. Praise God, there's saved people here. My, I'm glad I'll not have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus has saved me. He's my Lord and my God. I deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me. If you're in the meeting and you're a Christian, would you thank God that God has saved you? Maybe he saved you in the mission. And you thank God the church was ever opened. For here in that pew you found the Savior. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But let me tell you something, friend. If you're saved, you have a duty to do now. Put out your hands to the horns of the altar and say, "Oh God, my God, my God, save precious soul." As you're praying, I want a word with the unsaved, and there's many of them here. There's men and women, and there's boys and girls in the meeting tonight, and they're not saved. Friend, you need Jesus Christ. Death's on your track. Death struck its dart and drunk the blood of your soul. Tonight you have been eternity, lost forevermore. Will you turn to Christ now? Thank God he's married to the backslider. And if there's a backslider here, you can come too. He loves you still, friend. I'm appealing to every sinner. I'm appealing to every backslider to get right with God. You know what the Bible says? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon him? Will you call upon him now? Tarry no longer, friend, in the road of sin. Backslider, continue no longer your journey in that backslidden path. Turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading, and steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight?